Dear Lord, bless the words I speak, that may they come from you, and may they be heard by the people that hear them. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Christ the King. Could tell I was thinking of that when I picked the hymns, perhaps. A little bit of a theme running through them. What are the images that come to mind when you think of a king? A crown? Gold? Maybe gold, frankincense and myrrh? Though we don't think they were kings, really. Wealth.
A throne.
Power. I mean, I've not lived in a time in this country when there was a king ruling, but some of you will have. But I did do history at school, and there are kings in other countries. When I think of my history lessons, there were things like Henry VIII. And he had his issues, but he started the Church of England. I think for me, the image of an earthly king can be somebody who abuses power, somebody who wields power, sometimes to their own ends and sometimes to the ends of their people at the cost of others. Hence the French Revolution, I guess. End of history lesson. I didn't do it beyond GCSE. I didn't even do it at GCSE. But the sort of kingship that we know Christ to have is very different. The two vision stroke prophecy readings we had from Daniel and Revelation are quite apocalyptic, aren't they? There's sort of fire and all sorts going on. It is a throne and it is a position of power where sometimes, I think in the church in this country, we tend to think of Jesus as our mate, you know. He did so much for us. He's a friend, but he is an awesome and powerful ruler. But he does not wield power in a way that is detrimental to others. The prophecies we had today are about what we've come to call the second coming, I guess, the coming of the kingdom. And over the years, it's perhaps understandable that that imminence, the idea that the kingdom will come and we'll see it and it'll be glorious, has kind of slipped. And there are people who put up with rubbish in this life because it'll all be all right in the kingdom. But I actually believe the kingdom of God comes about because of people. In the commentary, I referred to the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and the idea of a world where it is winter but never Christmas. And all the people that these children meet have never known anything other than winter. But they still hold a hope that Christmas, which they've never experienced, will come and it will be good. But perhaps some of them have sat back and waited for Aslan to come and put it all right. Then these four little children turn up and start saying to people, "But this is awful. You can't put up with this." And people are stirred into action to do something about it themselves. And it's perhaps that reaction to challenging the injustice that causes Aslan actually to return. We have a part in building the kingdom of God in the same way. I'm not saying God does not enter this world and do the miraculous. But sometimes somebody has to do something. Even the miracles of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000, that boy had to offer his small, meagre feast in order for it to be blessed and for it to multiply. In most of the healing stories, somebody comes to Jesus with a request. He doesn't go out and do random acts of healing. So people have to come to him. And it's the act of their asking and believing that he can do it that enables him, or not enables him to do it, but causes him to do it. So if we look at the words of the ancient collect, stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bring forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded. Stir up. There's many meanings of that term, to stir something up. There is that negative connotation, and there are people who have it in their nature to stir things, you know, remind you that you did something wrong, or maybe spread rumours, gossip. That's sometimes known as stirring, isn't it? But if you stir in your sleep, you change position, you wake up. Maybe it's a call to wake up to the reality of the kingdom. To cause someone else to stir. To rouse someone, to prompt them into action. Sometimes adverts or programs or news stories stir us. We're moved in our heart out of pity or horror for a situation. Some things are said to cause a stir. They get noticed. It's out of the ordinary. People comment. As we approach Advent, which is waiting, preparing to meet the infant Christ, at this point we're reminded that it's not just a child that we wait for. It is an awesome ruler. And the prophecies foretell not just of his coming and birth in that rude, stable-like place, but of his coming to that eternal kingdom. Some people take the book talked about in Daniel. The books were opened to be the book of life. Some of you will have been part of Bible study groups in the past where it was asked, are you in the book? We don't know. We don't do good works, or perhaps we shouldn't do good works, simply because we want brownie points. We want it to count on our CV in God's judgment. But there is an end point that we're working towards. We don't sit back and wait for it to happen. We are partners in that kingdom. Because of all Christ achieved for us, we are heirs of that kingdom. Not servants, but sons, children of God, with an equal part in it. So just as the miraculous events in Jesus' life responded from somebody offering something or asking something. Maybe when we do something good, that in itself stirs others up. That in itself becomes a sign of hope. Advent is all about that eager anticipation. I'm already hearing too many people say, I dislike Christmas, I hate Christmas, I'll be glad when it's over. I'll be glad when the adverts stop. Oh my goodness. Perfume adverts, they make no sense. Jingles and all that. Yes, I'll be glad when that's over. But that's not Christmas. All the materialism and all the panicking about buying the right presents. It's about the anticipation of meeting again, getting to know again the humanity of Christ, while not losing sight of the kingship of Christ. Maybe we can learn something from the children's anticipation of Christmas. There is an eagerness that perhaps we don't have. But it can turn into impatience and frustration. And actually, some people can get pretty unpleasant while they're waiting. Stroppy would be the term I'd use. But actually, Paul tells us that sometimes it is those frustrations, those times of, I wish it was different, that cause us to act. Without frustrations, we don't hope for things to be better. I don't want you to be frustrated, but I want you to act upon your frustrations. So whatever you do this Stir Up Sunday, whether any of you are making your Christmas cakes or whatever, waiting till the last minute like I do, buying them, although I've still got at least 2 wedding cakes we can use for Christmas. So. Whatever you do this day, perhaps you can revisit your relationship with Christ, with God. Maybe you can be challenged in your views of this society's experience, and maybe together we can challenge people and change things for the better. Amen.